The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, it is November 19th, 2017, Survivor Series, and I'm Glenn Rubenstein here with Wrestling Inc.'s Raj Geary and Commissioner Matt Morgan. How's it going, Matt?
Obi-Wan Morgan tonight. I'm outside here doing the show on my porch because my son's inside sleeping, so it's getting cold here in Florida, but good win. I'm now, yeah, the commissioner here in District 4 of Longwood. Very proud of it.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is your first show since. Man, you were busy before.
I know, right?
Man, well, yeah, congratulations. How's that going? When do you start? Is that January?
I had my oath of office this past Tuesday. Last Tuesday night. And so we've already started, yeah.
Nice.
Cool, man. So Survivor Series 2017 tonight. Oh, man. So did both of you, Matt, did you watch the pre-show, any of it?
Not the pre-show, no.
I mean, not really a lot to cover there, right? I mean, if we go through the results and take it one by one, I mean, look, Elias in his, I can't remember, who did Elias wrestle? Why am I forgetting
this? Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy, that's right, to a near empty arena. They just opened the doors before they went on. Not much of consequence in that match. Elias did pick up the win.
Man, I just wonder how much is WWE losing in money just by treating a lot of these guys like Mickie James, Matt Hardy, you know, the Dudleys before, as just the veterans losing to the young guys as opposed to using them to their, you know, full potential. Because there's a lot of money in Matt Hardy. I mean, fans still go nuts for him.
Yeah.
He's just being wasted. I mean, you could give that role to anybody.
You're right.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
As a business, why would you do that? When you have a valuable asset, why deplete it as opposed to make the most of it?
Yeah. I mean, and that was a tough match to watch just going on so early. I mean, the pre-show started before the doors were even open. People were filing in. That was followed up with Kalisto against Enzo Amore, a rematch for the Cruiserweight title. Enzo retained there. And then added to the show rather late, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Fashion Police.
Huh. Really?
It was an all right match. You know, I mean.
Well, because those guys can go, but I'm surprised they just. I bet you it was an interesting match, but how random.
It was very random. Owens and Zayn cut a promo ahead of time. I mean, they got some good interplay. It was just weird, right? Because, I mean, those are four of the most over guys on SmackDown, and there they were on the kickoff show.
I wouldn't put Brizango
over a different
category. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Popular. Let's just call them popular. They're attractions on SmackDown Live, and they were on the kickoff show.
Brizango, they're kickoff material, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn right now aren't.
We saw throughout the night how that developed. So on WWE.com, after that match, they released a short video of Stephanie McMahon talking to Owens and Zayn backstage, which was massive foreshadowing for what happened later in the year.
Yeah.
It can be. If you take away Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn from SmackDown, you got like no heels on that brand. You would have to bring, I mean, you got no one.
No, nobody good at least.
Yeah. I mean, Baron Corbin's your top heel.
No, that's what I was thinking too.
Jinder Mahal. I mean, no offense to Jinder, but
no,
you know, no. Kevin Owens has been carrying that show on the heel side for a while.
Definitely.
Now.
Baron Corbin, who had all of two lines done after his victory and managed to screw up the first one, that guy isn't like a monster heel. Yeah. See, that was, but that was my interpretation of the finish of the main show tonight. I mean, so this is how I interpreted the finish of Survivor Series tonight, that we could very well see Owens and Zayn go to Raw and Braun go to SmackDown based on how they ended that.
What?
It's been a long day, Matt. I watched TakeOver War Games and then 6 hours of Survivor Series.
I watched,
so by the end
too.
Of this...
Wait, hang on. How explain Braun... I'm sorry, Braun going to SmackDown. How,
well,
how
he tore off the Raw shirt and threw it to Triple H, kind of like in disgust.
I looked at that as Triple H and Braun at WrestleMania.
That, like, could happen as well.
That's where they're going to. And probably that, Kurt and Jason Jordan.
That finish sucked ass, for the record.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was such a good show until
so anticlimactic.
The booking of that main event, and it was one of those cases where it shows you why they're not making new superstars other than Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns.
But I thought that match was really good though until certain aspects of it. Kurt, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Kurt, you can see he's you know what I mean. He's not what he was.
Was he injured though? Because he had that heavy tape on his right thigh.
I hope that's what it was.
Because yeah, he looked slow, but he looked slow going to the ring, and he didn't look like that at TLC. So I don't know if he got injured training or something.
The dream matchups and in the sequence that they got into all their stuff was awesome. I thought
it was.
I just hated the finish with the hokey Triple H crap.
And I didn't like that the first guys out are Joe Nakamura and Rude. And,
me,
you know,
too.
We said that last week on the podcast when we were predicting who were going to be the first ones out. And we said, you know, Rude and Nakamura. We got some hate in the chat room. They're like, no, those are the, you know, those guys are the future and whatnot.
Do they know when you say this, it's not your opinion? It's what you think the office's opinion of these
exactly.
guys are, I wonder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, that's how it was.
Yeah.
It just shows the pecking order when they do this stuff. And by the end,
Bobby, I knew would be out early.
He needs to be a heel. He looked like a douche does. When he did the glorious thing and got punched in the
punched
face
in
by
the
Triple
face.
H.
Ugh.
That, oh man, tonight, I mean, that last match, I mean, the last match was good for the majority
good.
Of it, but just the storytelling and the booking, and I feel like, you know, we need to restate this sometimes, because Raj, you bring up a point that we get crap for being negative. None of this has to do with how these guys are in the ring or these women are
right.
in the ring.
Or how we want them to be
yeah.
booked.
It's the booking and the storytelling that is, I think, most fans' frustration with the WWE, especially now that professional wrestling, the caliber of it is better than it's ever been from a technical performance point of view.
Right.
The average superstar would have been
really
top
good.
Of the game 20 years ago.
If they played the game properly. But as far as in-ring, I know what you're saying. In-ring work. Yeah, it's incredible today.
Yeah,
it's just,
in-ring.
It's
but and also just how much TV they have. So they can only protect. Like, they only feel like they can protect like one or two guys. And you got, you know, Nakamura being treated like he was nothing out there when there's so much potential.
It started off well for him.
Yeah.
In fact, he was the most over guy there for a minute, don't you think?
You know what sucked about this match in a way, as far as promoting it, is there are all these little dream scenarios that were in there that were never mentioned ahead of time. Like Finn and Nakamura, or Cena and Kurt Angle, the history that they had, or, you know, Cena and Triple H at main event of WrestleMania. There are all these little matchups that were there that were never, that story was never brought out ahead of time.
And it was weird, too. I mean, we'll talk more about the main event in detail later, but the whole Triple H thing, you know, I don't know if you guys saw, but Max Landis, who did the Great Wrestling Isn't Wrestling video about Triple H's career, he just tweeted that ending was, like, the most Triple H thing ever.
it totally is. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah, I mean, it was like he was making fun of himself. I mean, it was very self-parody. So let's go to the main show. And, one other thing, though, before we do, it was interesting how much in the pre-show and how much they were putting Jinder in the behind the scenes stuff, him interacting with AJ. I think that was something where the fans were wrong. That was where the show was not predictable, because a lot of us predicted Jinder was going to somehow get involved in the AJ and Lesnar match.
I didn't think that at all. Brock never has someone interfere on his behalf. It's never happened. I mean,
it's
since he's been
match.
Back.
It's a dream match too. They weren't even, they're not dumb enough to taint it.
Yeah, Brock doesn't need Jinder to beat AJ in WWE's minds. You know, like, and they gave AJ a lot tonight.
They did in the second half. The first half was.
He was so physical tonight, AJ. Boy, was he physical.
Yeah. And we'll get to all that, but I definitely didn't think that. I thought, you know, Jinder would. And it was so weird how nonchalantly they're like, oh, there's a WWE Championship match on SmackDown, just in passing. you know, on SmackDown on Tuesday.
Well, the way they treated SmackDown, they tried to build it up tonight. They gave them a little come from behind, and you were like, okay, they're not completely burying SmackDown. But then that ending with Shane and the way they eliminated everyone was just kind of, I mean, it might as well just had someone, Corey Graves, say, well, I guess we've settled it tonight once and for all, folks. SmackDown is indeed the B show.
I tweeted it out. I said they did a good job making SmackDown look like the C show tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like it wasn't even close. I mean, they made their young stars look like nothing. Cena is on both brands, technically. Shane was the one there at the end. And who was the fifth? I'm already forgetting.
It was Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, yeah.
Who's unfortunately a little forgettable at this stage. Yeah,
right.
Versus everyone in that ring, yeah.
Although I did enjoy when he tagged him, was it Shinsuke or Rude? He just had this look where it was like, I'm getting paid the same either way, guys. You want to come in here? Sure, I'll happily tag out of this. Yeah, okay, so the New Day versus The Shield. They kicked it off with a big match. Matt, did this meet your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, the New Day can go, obviously. I mean, we all know that. I just hate their hokey crap. I hate the comedy shtick. I can't stand it, in fact. It gets annoying to me. But once that bell rings, they're friggin' really good. And especially with The Shield. Oh, my God. The Shield is fun to watch right now. I love watching them.
Yeah. Raj, what'd you think of the match?
I thought this and the Usos match were the matches of the night. I thought it was awesome. I loved it. And AJ and Brock was third. You know, that match was exceeded my expectations. So I thought it was great. I thought they did enough spots to where you almost thought New Day had a chance.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of spots where you thought this is the ending. They're building to the ending. And then, you know, it kept going. And I just thought they did an awesome job. And one thing to remember is that these guys aren't working with each other on live events to practice these spots, you know? So they're all these Raw versus SmackDown matches, they're, you know, talking about the day of. And so I thought, like, in ring wise, the matches were great tonight.
They really were.
Yeah. Charlotte versus Alexa was the one I thought was a little bit of a downer. But other than that, I thought they were all really good.
Yeah, I thought this was a hell of a way to start the show. I mean, it was like a half-hour match.
That's awesome.
Great showcase for everyone involved. And yeah, The Shield won, which I think a lot of people were predicting, but you're absolutely right to your point, Raj. They made it a lot closer than I think anyone thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it took them. They did the triple powerbomb from the second rope.
Yeah, which I thought.
Have they done that before? I don't remember ever seeing that.
Maybe Big Show. For some reason, I'm just guessing that. I don't know for sure. I'm just guessing.
I think they I feel like Big Show they did through a table, but
yeah,
off the apron or something on the outside. But yeah, I thought that was
thought it was cooler when Xavier lifted up Big E and then Kofi did the hop over. I know it didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think it all went exactly as planned with the third part of the move, but I thought that was really cool.
He squatted Big E and that can't be easy.
No, definitely. And after that, Stephanie McMahon backstage with the Red Brand team, giving them a pep talk right before the 5-on-5.
Imagine a pep talk from Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, that was so.
Were you expecting her to bury somebody during that segment?
Yes, of course I was. I was expecting her to take everyone's nuts, you know, and put them all in her purse.
It's like one of the rare segments where Stephanie McMahon doesn't just completely dress down somebody.
It was close. Yes. She was talking to Bayley like she was a child. Like, now, Bayley. Right. No hugging out there tonight.
Yeah.
It was just very, very condescending. But yeah, you know, as far as Steph goes, that was supportive for her.
Yeah, I was expecting her to be like, you better win this match or I'll, you know, because you're a loser and, you know, you show what a loser you are. You know, like that kind of stuff that she keeps on doing. So it was a little bit of a change. I don't know if you guys saw the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn segment earlier with Stephanie.
Yeah, on WWE.com.
Yeah, it was on WWE.com, but they, you know, teased Stephanie, you know, being friendly with them and them going to Raw. I'm telling you, if they go to Raw, they would need something big to go to SmackDown. Otherwise, that brand is just dying without them.
Yeah, it's just it's an opportunity to help get them over on two guys that were not going to be working the main show.
Yeah. I hope that's all that was.
See what they do on Tuesday. So, yeah, 5-on-5 women's elimination match. Team SmackDown, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Tamina, Carmella, and Naomi versus Team Raw, Alicia Fox, Asuka, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, and Bayley We all speculated they left it open on that fifth member. It was Natalya, kind of an anticlimactic choice.
Do we even have to talk about this match?
Yeah.
Let's spend more time on AJ Brock or something.
Fans
don't want to hear this. I'm telling you right now, our fans don't want to hear this, but go ahead.
I think it was kind of interesting that Nia got punked out so much by Tamina. Like, Tamina looked really strong against
Tamina,
her.
Like, the best Tamina match ever, perhaps.
She's just there to me, though. She's just been... She looks impressive. She's athletic as hell. She looks like $1 million as far as a badass goes, but they've never used her properly, and she's just a nobody. How her perception is given off, unfortunately.
I know Chris was saying that on our Twitter feed as well, but I thought Tamina, her super kicks, but outside
she's
of that,
great.
They were great, but outside of that, I didn't see anything else. So Bailey and Becky was the first one out. Bailey first went out on the Raw side.
Yeah.
Kind of built to Asuka winning the match. Nia got countered out. She was the other one that was kind of like really protected.
Protected, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was fine for what it was. It wasn't bad. But
out of 6 hours of wrestling, really? Like I didn't want to, I'm sorry. If I could have fast-forwarded this, I would have fast-forwarded the hell out of this match.
Compared to most, if you go back through the history of the podcast, compared to most of the pay-per-views, if this was the worst match on the show, this doesn't even touch what the worst match is on the majority of pay-per-views we've covered.
But think about what you just said. You shouldn't have to say that.
I'm just saying, like, it's all relative. It's relative.
There's so many good matchups out there, and tonight actually showed it. Like, if they just got their heads out of their asses... And we lost somebody. You know what I mean? Let these guys just go.
Yeah. So then Natalya.
Get out of the way. Stupid storylines. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Natalya tapped to an Asuka lock.
I'm excited.
And that's the thing. They clearly use this to protect / build Asuka further, which made sense. But
I'm fine with that.
Really dominated the match. And Nia Jax letting herself get counted out. That was also kind of weird.
As far as the Raw versus SmackDown matches, this would probably be number three, right? Or would you say the Women's Champion versus Women's Champion was higher?
What do you mean number three?
It would have been like Team Raw versus Team SmackDown or Lesnar versus AJ are the top two as far as importance.
Matches of the night? Oh, important. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
so
it should be.
So Raw then technically like one of the three most important matches.
Yeah.
Like they're so stupid. What an opportunity! Even if they're like, oh, it's the local minority, it's the vocal minority, local minority.
That's that, me.
that are claiming, that the SmackDown's the B show. That'll be an excuse. But what an opportunity they had tonight to put SmackDown back as an A show, not an A show, but at least somewhat, perceived somewhat better. You know what I mean?
A B plus show.
They could have gotten a lot out of this tonight. They really could have with SmackDown, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Real quick note, Mickey Robolata.
Who?
He tweets us a lot. I think he's tweeted you too, Matt. Yeah. He was noting that Stephanie McMahon came out after the show to congratulate Triple H. So.
Thanks for that update, Mickey.
Yeah. So the authority, still standing tall.
That's the second most Triple H thing that could have happened tonight. wow. They should have kept that in the broadcast. Now, just if they really wanted to get heel heat back on the authority in full swing, that would have been a great way to do it.
I think anytime people are missing Triple H, you just got to remember what happens when he's back.
Right. We saw it tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, NXT Triple H is a much more interesting guy.
Way cooler.
Way cooler. So the Intercontinental Championship, Intercontinental Champion The Miz from Raw versus the United States Champion Baron Corbin from SmackDown. Okay, I had no expectations for this match. Matt, what did you think?
I did. I thought Miz would really showcase how damn good he's gotten. Keep saying how good he's gotten. He's been there for years. I got to stop saying that. How good he is and carrying people now. I mean, think about it. Let's really think about it. The guy who was flubbing lines, coming in and announcing the Diva Search. Do you know what I mean? And just completely, we've heard the story millions of times, but I remember watching it when this kid was trying to get dark matches and stuff. And he was horrible. He wasn't athletic in the slightest. His body looked like ass. He looked like ass. And to where he's at now, where he's carrying dudes through matches, like, it's impressive to watch, man. He does not get enough credit, and I'll continue saying that, man. This wasn't some five-star match, but he was wrestling a guy who I think sucks. No offense to Baron Corbin. I do. I think he's garbage, but it is what it is. And I think Miz did his best to carry him.
You know what? I thought nothing of this match, but it was probably the best match Baron Corbin has had on pay-per-view in a long time. Right? And he's worked with like Nakamura, AJ Styles. You know? So it's not like he hasn't been given like good opponents. So
it's impossible not to have a four and a half star match at least with AJ. It is impossible not to.
Yeah. So
I tried. Trust me, guys.
Yeah, I think Miz was the babyface of this match. You're going for him, and you know Corbin's taunting his wife and beats him anyway. But yeah, I mean it was kind of one of those that Corbin won because they needed to put the Raw SmackDown score
says
even.
Yes to everything, Miz. You're not watching this. Will somebody please relay the message to him? Stop saying yes to everything.
Well, plus, I think they just needed to even the score. And so when you're going through the matches, and where to do it. They did. I mean, because they had the guys that they wanted to protect. And those guys, in those matches, the Shield's not going to lose. Triple H wasn't going to lose. And Brock wasn't going to lose. So.
Who was the other one?
And then the fourth was, who was the fourth? Asuka.
Yeah.
She ain't going to lose. What was the one before Asuka?
Triple H? So Shield, Asuka, Triple H, and Braun, and Brock.
See, I thought AJ could have beaten Brock. I really did. I know it's crazy. I didn't see anything wrong with it if he won tonight. I really didn't, especially the way they told that story at the end.
I think if we're running the company, that's probably had the way I would have gone because Brock's who knows how long he's around.
Right. Yes.
So, but knowing Vince and the way they protect Brock, I knew there was no way that AJ was winning this.
Yeah.
What are you giggling at?
Well, because what I liked tonight was that they didn't. Okay, so they didn't let anyone look. They didn't let anyone look sad. They gave everyone a chance to at least save face in it. So AJ got his rather long sequence, and we went, "Oh, AJ can win. He looks good." Even Nakamura, Bobby Roode probably got the shortest end of the stick. Nakamura got a good sequence and a good run there.
Yes, he did.
Where it was a good showcase for him. So what I'm saying is they didn't like punk somebody out. Like you're gonna go out there and get squashed. Right. You know, they gave everyone at least a chance to shine and make it a credible loss as opposed to just a complete squash.
Just so you know, every Survivor Series and Royal Rumble are very similar. You're all in the ring together or you're backstage looking at a blackboard. And that the entire, no matter who you are in any years, go back to my Survivor Series rookie pay-per-view ever, the first match I debuted in, I think, with Team Lesnar. Everybody gets their shine. Everybody gets their shit in, excuse my language. But that's the saying. You get your stuff in. Every single person. So it's not like, ooh, they did Nakamura. So, no, that's the formula. That's just how it works. But they should have heard something tonight, and I hope they did. I know tonight was an NXT crowd, a Smart Mark crowd, but still, I'm hoping it's enough to trick Vince and the rest of them to go, you got to do much more with Nakamura than you're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like Vince has just lost faith in Nakamura. Like, he doesn't see it, and I don't see him. It's going to take something. It's going to take something else to change that.
Oh, hey guys, really quick. I know we're all over the place, but really quick. When it was Finn and Nakamura and they were going crazy.
Yeah.
The announcers were doing their best to act like they're smart Mars and talking about New Japan, and the fans started chanting NXT. I was like, you idiots. It's your own brand they're cheering for their rivalry from, you morons.
So, of course, Corbin won with the End of Days, and And he messed up the line. That's the part I couldn't believe. As they get into the thing, the time when my hand went up, your mouth closed.
What? Wait, he messed up. I didn't see. Wait, what?
Yeah, he said, we're supposed to say the Miz line. He was supposed to say, when my hand went up, your mouth went shut. And instead he said, when my hand went up, your mouth closed.
Oh, my God.
But outside of that, that's probably one of the better promos that Baron Corbin's given. Because he didn't seem as scripted. You know what I mean?
Scripted. Yeah. They gave him two sentences. It was like...
He loved the line, but he didn't seem scripted.
This is why they are scripted, guys. This is a great example of it.
It's not that hard. I mean, this was... No. Miz says it every week. It's the closest thing he has to a catchphrase.
Well, let me ask you this. How many people on each show do you think watch the other show?
I didn't.
Booker T, you could tell, has no idea what's going on. On SmackDown, NXT.
Yeah.
Like, he was like Corey Graves. Like, he made some comment earlier, like, oh, you've never won a tag title or ever held a belt. And Michael Cole had to step at me, like, no, in NXT, he did. And
he's the worst announcer.
No idea.
He's the worst announcer ever. He's horrible.
Booker T's.
I wouldn't say ever, but he's
okay. He's not Adam Lee, but he's bad.
Yeah. he's the worst WWE announcer right now.
Horrible.
Well, since what's his face?
He ruins matches. He actually ruins matches.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The thing with him and Corey Graves, you could tell like Booker, like Corey Graves gets on Booker's nerves, and he. It's like, you know, with Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan at the end of Nitro, when you could tell they had the heat, but it came across in a way that it didn't benefit the product.
Right.
It's like they were just getting, you know, snipping at each other on the show, and it wasn't helping the product. It was just like they were trying to get on, you know, each other back. And that's what happens with Booker and Corey a lot, where Booker is just, he's trying to one-up Corey a lot when Corey's right, and Corey's like, hey, Booker, I'm agreeing with you.
Yes, he did that bunches of times tonight.
Yeah, it's just like, Book.
I hate to break it to Book. He cannot hold Corey Graves' jock in a suitcase as far as being an announcer goes, let alone hold his jock. He can't come close. Corey Graves is my favorite.
Oh, Corey's great.
Corey's great. So he's the best right now.
He is.
Definitely. No, definitely. And speaking of the anchors and commentators tonight, I have to say in the pre-show, HBK, Shawn Michaels out there.
He's worse than Booker.
But
I didn't see it.
He can't complete a sentence. He's just like, well, you, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, and it's tough.
And then he mocked. He said, I believe it's the one time a year when Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head in competition. And if you don't say that, you're going to be selling oranges off the side of the
freeway. That was a good line.
Yeah.
That was his one sentence.
Just did not care, which was kind of awesome. But he seemed like kind of half asleep at some point. I mean, it was just, it was something else. I think he should be on all of these shows. Much better than Rosenberg or...
If he didn't drink, I would think he was drunk. You know, because he's just like kind of mumbling and you know, he just sounds disinterested, and he's trying to make a point. It's taking a while to get there, and then you know, Charlie has to step in, and I don't know. It sucks because I think HBK, obviously one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but seeing him in that role, it's just
And he's full time at the Performance Center now, right? He's been on NXT on some of the live dates and whatnot.
He's working at the Performance Center. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're getting their money's worth out of involving him. Okay, so SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, versus the Raw Tag Team Champions, The Bar. Matt,
good match.
First. Yeah.
Very good match. Sheamus, we know the Usos can go, and everyone gives them their credit, but I still say, even though I don't, how do I say this? Because I don't like them, I don't like watching them, but every time I'm done watching Sheamus and Cesaro, I always walk away with crazy respect for how good they are. Mm-hmm. As a team, they really are good, and then they're such good utility players, and that's what this tonight was.
Yeah, I feel like Sheamus and Cesaro, they just need like, I almost feel like they need like a God. I always forget her name. Rosita, Zelina Vega, like you know how she has brought so much to Andrade Cien Almas.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She has made him way more important than he was.
Sure.
You know, 6 months ago. She's awesome. They need something because they're so good in the ring. Their matches are so good. But personality-wise, you could tell they like each other. They're you know, they gel well. But just making you care about them, they need something. And that aspect is missing. So I don't know if it's a third person, a manager, an agent, something. But because their matches are great, and we knew this going in. When Glenn, every time we've talked about you know this show, we always talked about how that's probably going to be a show stealer, and this was easily you could argue it's top three for sure, and just depending on your preferences, it's where you put it. But I thought this was the second best match on the show.
Yeah. I mean, the Usos picked up the win. Good end sequence. Good sequences all around in this. I thought that it took a while to get going, but once it got going, it really got going. And, I think, it's unfair a little charisma-wise to compare them to the Usos, because I think that's the problem, is that the Bar, compared to the Usos, I mean, most weeks the Bar gets in maybe three lines tops in terms of their promos. They do their shtick. They're just
they don't take advantage of them though. They suck at those three lines, so I wouldn't give them any more either. The Usos are very comfortable.
Oh my god, that thing tonight about all the different bars they were listing, that was fantastic.
they took a huge risk, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. When they started letting them do their own thing, after a while, they earned the right to do that. Like, they hit home runs with their three lines that they were given at one point, and Sheamus and Cesaro were not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by the way, someone, Natalie is suggesting Ruby Riott with the bar. That's kind of a cool idea. Someone else is saying Paige. I think Paige is a little too big for that, but Ruby Riott, I could see.
Yeah. Although, Paige, what have you heard, Raj? What's going on there? Tomorrow?
It seems like what people are guessing is that her ruining the surprise on social media, she was supposed to return on Raw last week.
She was?
That was the plan at one point. Oh, wow. And she was actually supposed to be in Bayley's spot at the Survivor Series at one point. That was like one of the plans that they had. But her posting on social media pissed off the wrong people, and they changed plans. So,
what'd she put?
She posted a picture of her backstage with Alicia Fox last Sunday, like a day before she's supposed to return. And you know, that happens. Like Lana, when she posted that picture of her engagement ring when she was in that angle with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And, you know, they quickly dropped that angle, and all of them went to, you know, were never really featured since. I mean, Rusev's, you know, up and down on the mid card, but, you know, they don't like that stuff.
I don't get, I mean, we talked before about, you know, they're not watching Raw, guys aren't watching SmackDown, SmackDown guys aren't watching Raw. Every place I've ever worked in my entire life, I had a pretty clear idea of like what was a definite action that would piss off who I worked for. You know, and you'd think that superstars backstage would know, since there's so much precedent with this. And given what Paige has gone through, you think both wellness policy and the other stuff, she would be very clear on what is okay versus what is not okay at this point.
You would think. It's not hard to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe she shows up tomorrow. Maybe not. But when she was
there
tonight.
It makes sense. If she's not going to be on pay-per-view, have her show up tomorrow.
Yeah. Man, her against Asuka would be great. But that's how you know she's in trouble, if they bring her back to go in a feud with Asuka and lose.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, put her in a feud where she's going to lose. But
that depends on their plans for her. That's what I'm saying. She's in trouble if they do that.
Next match.
Okay. After that, got to talk to Jason Jordan backstage. He said he was ready to go tonight. Should he need to be called?
Yeah, that was.
Please let the story start tomorrow.
I think it is starting. I think that's part of it. He was so whiny that you could not. That was not a baby face. That was such a whiny promo. He's turning heel.
Okay.
He needs to put some bass in his voice, though. He does not sound.
He's so damn charismatic on Breaking Ground. He was so charismatic backstage. All those things when he was like flirting with Bayley. He was, you know, like call me JJ, doing all that stuff. He was so charismatic. I don't get where that guy went.
That happens to most guys, actually. I'd say 3/4 of the guys have that same problem. That's why they don't get over.
Yeah.
In real life, if you were to talk to them, you know, they're interesting, they're charismatic. But once you put them in that scripted environment, it disappears because they don't believe the lines that they're saying.
Yeah.
I think Roman suffers from that.
Sean O'Hare is the best example of all time.
Dean Malenko's another, right? Like Dean Malenko.
Yeah. Well, Dean's hilarious. He's got he's more like Rodney. All right, maybe an older generation, because he's like Rodney Dangerfield. He has always one-liners for everything.
Yeah.
Like a lot of that's what she said, like that kind of jokes. And he's hilarious, but it's like, I don't know how you make that into a character. Sean O'Hare was a bad mamma jamma in real life. I watched him super kick somebody in a shoot in a real fight in a bar once. I swear to God. He super kicked somebody's teeth. And he's hilarious. He talks smack the whole time, and it's the funniest thing ever. Yeah, he's charismatic as hell, but not in the ring.
Well, the women's champion versus women's champion match, Charlotte Flair versus Alexa Bliss tonight.
You guys didn't like this, huh?
I thought it was all right.
It was okay. I liked it.
I just didn't think they had like amazing ring chemistry. And we were talking earlier about who's protected. I thought Charlotte was winning tonight.
Charlotte. Yeah, me too.
And I don't know. I love Alexa Bliss's character. I think she does a great job, but her matches, I just kind of forget about them within the next day. There aren't any that really stick.
Really?
Okay. I mean, can you think of any?
I can't even name 2 weeks ago who wrestled on Raw. I can't name one match.
Yeah, she had some good matches with Becky, I thought. I thought, though, when she won the title off Bayley, was
her versus Mickey was very good.
Yeah, actually, that
I didn't think her matches with Mickey were good at all.
Really?
I thought the promo on the pre-show, which they re-showed with her and Charlotte, was weird.
Okay. Because... I know. Let's go back to this. Her stuff with, what's her name? Bailey with the kendo stick match. And all. She did really
good. That match sucked. And that ending was so flat. No, they buried Bailey.
I'm just saying when they got up to that point, like around that angle, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
She did good. She did fantastic with her. You guys were putting her over huge.
No, I think, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying out. Her promos and everything are great, but the matches themselves, I don't think, because I didn't think the matches were great at least with Bailey. I mean, she pretty much squashed Bailey,
but very viciously.
Yeah, and actually, some of those angles sucked. That "This Is Your Life" thing that she did,
that sucked. The matches were good. I'm telling you, go back and watch them. You'll remember. I love
that "This Is Your Life." That's one of the worst.
I'm not saying they're bad. They're just there. They did, yeah.
But that promo face off with her and Charlotte. Was neither of them came across as a face in that promo thing they were doing. Like Charlotte, I'm surprised.
Charlotte did this promo on the pre-show.
Yeah.
It was just bewildering because she's at one point she's like, I hope you beat me. And then never gave an explanation of what she meant by that. It's like, what? it was like she was trying to turn it up, but then got lost and then was saying stuff that made no sense. So
yeah.
I feel like Charlotte, I mean, actually, it's funny. If you could merge Charlotte and Alexa, like take the best qualities from both, you would have the ultimate female superstar for the WWE.
Even though Charlotte struggles with her promos time to time, I think that she already is that. But
yeah, I think Charlotte and Sasha are there. They just need the right opponents, though.
And they stop treating Sasha like she's a midget. You know what I mean? They don't treat her right.
Right.
With Charlotte, now, as a person, she seems really interesting and dynamic, but as a character, I just never know what her character is. I hated her heel character, and I don't feel like they've given her a real babyface character that's stuck. So
well, that's the problem with this women's revolution thing, is that they still aren't really giving them, you know, defining characters. It's just kind of like, you know, one week they're feuding, the next week they're all standing together and beating up James Ellsworth, you know? Like,
right.
There's not a consistency there with... And you can't get into their feuds when they're buddies they one just, week. They're just clumped together in different ways.
That's why I had a hard time watching SmackDown after the Raw Under Siege crap. What a stupid name, by the way. Who really talks like that?
Vince McMahon talks like that.
No one uses the word siege.
Even what wrestling fan is like, hey, you going to watch the Survivor Series? That's the only one night where Raw and SmackDown superstars compete in head-to-head competition.
Nobody said that.
And you're supposed to think that that's like how people talk with how often the announcers and the wrestlers are saying that line. It's so unnatural.
Yeah.
Just drives me nuts when they do that stuff.
If you would have taken a drink tonight, every time they said that, you would have been dead before the pre-show was over. Man. Like, I think you really ran it into the
ground. When you're using the word hashtag in your battle cries,
it's Shane McMahon, like the oldest... Like
we're going to war. Hashtag.
Like the ultimate soccer dad, Shane McMahon. Like, you know, hashtag. And that's what it sounds like. Actually, I had soccer coaches like that when I was a kid who would be like, we're going to go out there and we're going to go to war, guy. You know, but he was talking to 10-year-olds.
Son tells me when you played soccer, you didn't get in the game. You sat at the end of the bench. You ate all the oranges.
Yeah. It's just like, when do we open the Capri Sun, guys? No, I was actually...
Hey man, I got my participation ribbons myself. So.
Capri Sun.
I was a really active halfback, actually. Halfback was my position.
Hey, hated soccer.
Yeah. Well, I think, but all kids play soccer, right?
And then you become an
adult.
Sport,
yeah, then you become an adult and you don't give a shit about soccer anymore.
No. My youngest daughter scored 12 goals this season. So she's six.
Wow.
Yeah. Against boys and girls, they got the co-ed stuff.
Oh, wow. So.
It's really good.
Uh-huh.
12.
Yeah, so Shane McMahon's, you know. Ultimate soccer dad talking about we're going to put Raw under siege.
So corny.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
And Charlotte won with the figure eight.
Yep.
Bliss tapped out to that. Mm-hmm. So after that, Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. Okay, so Matt, so walk me through what you thought of this match because it seemed like AJ.
I thought it would have been better. Brock, of all people, screwed up a bunch tonight.
Yeah, they were off. They were off sync for a while.
I will say this. I love AJ to death, but he is a heavy little cruiserweight. Let me just tell you that right now. He is not light. Sorry, AJ. You are cement at times. But I saw him fumble with Brock fumble with AJ when they went to the tornado DDT at the end. I've had that issue with AJ before, but just my first time working him. Once I knew he was heavier than he looks, that I knew I had to like not rely on him to do all the work. I had to shoot muscle him up a lot of the time, which is fine, you know. But AJ is so damn good that once it came time to go into his comeback, I think people forgot about a bunch of that crap. We're going over because we're so called we're quote unquote analysts, right? We're supposed to be analyzing these things, but I think the common fan let it go. I'm surprised they didn't chant UF'd up, honestly. But once AJ starts cooking, man, his body language, when he takes air, I swear to God, this is a friend, so I sound like a weirdo, you know, deriding him like this. But, like, I'll give him credit. He's got the whole Air Jordan look. Like, when he hits the air, he has his own, like, AJ pose thing he does with his legs. And when he takes the air, it looks different than anybody else.
Nope, that's true.
His body control is crazy.
You watched the match with Jinder, right, where he won the title?
Yeah,
and those forearms he's giving outside the ring to the Singh brothers, it was just like, oh my god,
he's laying stuff in, man. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. He's insane.
Out of Brock.
Yeah, I mean,
hard.
I thought the same thing. I thought the match seemed off for a while. Like you had Brock squashing him, and then when AJ was making his comeback at first, him and Brock were not on the same page for a little bit.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, this match is kind of turning into a cluster, and then. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it just got on fire. AJ, you know, I mean, that's the thing with AJ. Jinder had his best match ever, was with AJ.
Yep.
And I think this was Brock's best match since, gosh, I forever. It's been years.
15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised it went past 10. But
he's gaining weight. You see it? He's looking Brock, softer. Yeah.
You think it's, yeah.
He doesn't look like he normally looked.
Yeah.
And also one thing, when AJ hits his what is it, slingshot 450 splash, it hurts like hell. It kills. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. It kills. So I'm wondering, did that do anything to Brock's diverticulitis? You know what I mean? It was straight in his stomach. He caught that, and it hurts. I'm not gonna play. I swear to you, it hurts.
I thought he was completely that was completely gone. I'm not sure.
I didn't think it could. I honestly didn't. I thought that's something you struggle with the rest of your life.
Because I remember that UFC fight when you fought Mark Hunt. They were like, oh, well, he had diverticulitis during his last run, but now that's completely gone. Yeah,
they did
gone.
Say that. They did say that. You're right.
Yeah. I loved when AJ had him in the submission hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Brock just dribbled his head.
Yes.
That was incredible. Awesome.
Yeah, that was.
I hope
was
people
such
give
cool
AJ
sport.
Credit for that. That's AJ hitting the smack in the back of his head, sitting up, doing you know, a crunch essentially, like 100 crunches in a row to eat that. He's so goddamn so good.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was one of Brock's best matches since he's been back, and probably it's up there in the top three. I think I loved his first match with John Cena. That one,
that match.
Which was just. You're so brutal. It was awesome. I really liked his match with SummerSlam at SummerSlam with Cena, even though it was kind of a squash.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah, and his match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania was good.
Yep. Yes, it was.
So this was up
did
there.
Did he wrestle Rollins?
He did wrestle Rollins, but that was kind of forgettable.
Somebody else, I really liked his match. It wasn't Goldberg, obviously. It was somebody else.
CM Punk?
Maybe it was Punk. So I really walked away like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah, him and Punk had a good match at SummerSlam.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Yeah, that one was. I think this was the best match. This either Reigns or Punk. I guess Cena was after Punk.
You know, I mean, Strowman was great, but that was essentially like a 5-minute sequence.
Yeah, those matches weren't bad with Strowman and Samoa Joe, but it was
short, very short.
And Brock, obviously, the last SummerSlam was awesome. But as far as the singles match, and Brock wasn't in most of the SummerSlam match, so which almost made me wonder, like, did he have it in his contract that he doesn't work more than 10 minutes? Because at SummerSlam, he was taken out, comes back. If you added up his actual ring time, it was probably under 10 minutes. But tonight, he went over, so that kills that theory.
Now, was that a legit knee injury tonight, or was that?
No, I think he's just selling.
I don't know. I can't tell anymore, guys.
You could tell, like Drew last night, you know, after TakeOver. You see the concern. You can tell. Yeah, Brock was just selling. I mean, that's the story of the match, is that his knee is injured and AJ's got a chance. Mm-hmm. But kudos to them, you know? Like, I forget how huge Brock is. You see it, you know, like, and you see 6'3", you know, 280 pounds. But then he's been in with Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman all year that, you know, guys that he doesn't look huge against. So then against AJ Styles, like, geez, Brock's a freaking beast.
Yeah. So let's talk about the final match of the night. Oh, and of course, Lesnar hit that F5 and covered AJ for the win. Five on five traditional.
And they AJ is defending against Jinder Mahal on Tuesday. SmackDown Tuesday. You guys think Jinder wins?
They're not going to India, correct?
They are. But they canceled one of the shows, so it's only one night. Jinder's wrestling Triple H.
Maybe he does. Nah, I don't know. You never know. I don't know what direction they're going in. See, that's the problem. Does AJ have a big match coming up down the road? No. So I don't know.
But why wouldn't they just save it for the pay-per-view that's coming up in like 3 weeks?
They could. They very well could.
Yeah. Or they have Jinder beat AJ and then the rematch is at the pay-per-view. Because I can't see them having AJ beat Jinder and then doing the rematch at the pay-per-view again when AJ's already beaten Jinder twice.
Right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
So I think
champions.
I think Jinder wins or it's some sort of schmoz. But
schmoz.
It's not schnoz. But we'll see.
Yeah. So 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series elimination match. Shane McMahon, John Cena, Bobby Roode, Randy Orton, and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kurt Angle, Triple H, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Samoa Joe. Entrances took up a good 10 minutes in this, and the match didn't go as long as I thought it would. I really thought we'd go all the way to 8, but they were out, what, about 20 till?
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because when you got these 6-hour shows, I hate when they still go like a half hour over. You don't need to when it's that long. More doesn't always mean more. So I was glad that they didn't feel the need to have to go over. But yeah, it was one of those things. The announcers would explain like the importance of some of the matchups when they were there in the ring. But if you would have advertised that and built on it a little bit, it would have been cool.
And then it wouldn't happen or happen for like a second. Oh my God. You know,
the announcers were annoying in this is what they were. Yeah. They're so Cole especially. Cole was annoying the hell out of me.
I think just in general when they have the won this match.
Right. Like, yeah. Like there's huge rivalry. They really come on.
Well, because they had five-man announce booth tonight. That was too much. So Nakamura was first out. Roode was out. Mm-hmm. It was just weird, man. I thought they really would have given SmackDown a better showing on this because that was where they give the individuals, like you said, Matt, you know, their showcase to typical Survivor Series formula. They didn't really do that for SmackDown as a whole. And I thought that it was embarrassing that it was so lopsided. And then you got Shane McMahon as the last guy standing.
No, those guys go back. I mean, Nakamura got his shine and Bobby got his shine.
I'm just saying SmackDown as a whole looked weak.
The young guys, I shouldn't say young guys because they're all like near 40.
No, but Finn, Nakamura, Joe,
Nakamura, Joe, Finn, and Bobby Roode didn't eliminate anybody. Like they,
well, those are four guys, but yeah.
But those are the full time guys, right?
They won.
Those are the full-time guys other than Ron.
Who should have been shined. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Like Hunter doing all that crap did nothing for me. Nothing. I didn't care. I liked his entrance. I was looking forward to that. That was about it.
Yeah.
And not wearing the Raw shirt. Cena not wearing the SmackDown shirt.
He just comes across as a douche.
And Cena, the biggest star of the company, was kind of an afterthought.
Like no storyline.
He really was an afterthought, wasn't he? Yes, he was.
No storyline why he's there.
No promo, nothing. He's like, hey, I'm coming in. I got a new green shirt. I'm not going to wear the – that's another thing. The guys wearing the Raw SmackDown shirts I thought just looked cheesy as hell.
It looks corny. It makes you look so corny. It does. So, like, I'm supposed to think Nakamura's backstage, who can speak hardly broken English, and trying to talk to the seamstress about, I need to change my colors tonight. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine the conversation?
Did you guys have that thought?
I need a blue blouse. Yeah. I need a blue blouse tonight, not a red one.
I love that Curtis Axel had the red neck brace.
That's
what I mean. So cheesy.
When Nakamura and Triple H had their moment in the corner, and it took, I was like, this is kind of going on. And I thought, Nakamura is trying to call something, and Triple H is having trouble understanding it.
Other way around.
Oh, God, Triple H was calling something, and Nakamura didn't understand. Yeah. Because it was like, why is this going on for a very long time with
that
nothing
was why.
Happening?
Yeah. 100%.
But you could tell, like, they think that wearing those shirts is cheesy because the guys they perceive as stars, Lesnar didn't wear it,
right?
You know, Triple H didn't wear it, and Cena mm-hmm. didn't wear it.
And the Shield got their own half and half shirts,
right? And Roman didn't wear it, you know, when he was wrestling.
Good on Roman.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have worn that crap. Wait, what am I saying? I had to actually. ECW Invasion, I wore like a loser. Never mind. Except yeah. I cut my sleeves off. I thought I was cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Man. So. I guess, I mean, that was a real turning point tonight. Was it got down to Braun out of the ring for more than half the, or about half the match. Shane and Orton last man standing. But then, okay, Triple H turning on Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's about to get Shane to tap out. Shane won't tap out. Triple H comes in, like starts beating on Kurt Angle and then puts Shane on top of him for the pin. Makes it, right. I don't know what was going on, but someone needs like an animated GIF of just Braun's confused face. The audience was the same way. Like, what do you, like, he was like, you're, you know, trying to trick me. I was like, I don't even get what the trick was. Yeah. That he's in cahoots with Shane, or.
That's what it was looking like. Like, he stood yeah. next to Shane, like, hey, I'm on Shane's side now. It just took forever to get to. And this yeah. is a situation where slow burn was not good.
No, not at
all. And it was confusing. It was annoying. It was, God, this guy's getting too much friggin' shine right now. Would he get out of the ring on her?
They really shut the crowd up, too. Like the crowd,
it did.
Like, they
really
did not
did.
Care. It was just kind of like, eh.
It's like this guy again. That was my reaction. And that's what they were saying, too.
Who yeah. took out Cena again?
Kurt,
yes, yeah. So, again, yeah. Again, the full-time guys. Finn Balor didn't take out anyone, right?
John Cena cheered like a cheerleader on the sidelines. Like, I'm cool. I'm cheering for Nakamura too. Yeah, yeah. You want Nakamura?
Yeah, he was doing the like, come on, guys, doing the little twiddle jazz
so
hands.
Corny doing that.
Yeah.
So Finn didn't get a. So Finn, Samoa Joe, Nakamura, Bobby Roode. None of those guys got a pin. All the guys that got falls. Like, Shane did McMahon.
Did Kurt really need to be John Cena? Was that necessary? You know.
If they're so,
give it to somebody else.
It seemed like they were building to Kurt and Triple H at WrestleMania. And if that's the case, then I'm sure Triple H wants Kurt to look strong and pinning Cena is the way to do it. But it definitely did seem like they might be building to Braun, unless, I mean, if this leads to Braun going to SmackDown, like Glenn said, which just I don't see it.
No. It's their age show. He ain't going anywhere.
He tore it off. He was making a statement.
You do that all the time. It's like wiping. It's like wiping your ass with something and throwing it on. So I'm telling you right now, that's what that is.
I understand. Yeah.
Somewhere Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came in. They were also an afterthought. They beat up Shane, but Shane was fine. He pretty much took them both out.
That was weird too. When Shane took like 20 minutes to get in the ring.
Yeah.
I liked the spot where it looked like Shane was going to jump and actually land on Braun, and then Joe came in and interfered.
I like Finn Balor freaking these drop kicks from hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Shane.
Crap. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was something else.
Man, give these guys some falls. Give them some pins, man.
Go back and watch it, you guys. I'm telling you, Finn got the most in, I thought, as far as he looked very confident out there. Watch his body language. Remember I always tell you guys, the best guys are the ones that know what to do in between the moves. Watch his body language. Watch the things he's doing in between all the moves. He knows exactly where he's at every step in that ring after he hits his like sling blade or swing blade, whatever the hell it's called. And then he's on to the next thing. Instead of rushing right into it, he does a little, you know, he's so good. And tonight, I thought he was a huge star when he was getting his stuff. Like you said, though,
like a superhero.
It would have been a great exclamation mark by giving him a win. He's the one I wanted to. I thought should have beat John.
Yeah, exactly. If he would have been the one to take out Cena, that would have been, you know, a big move in the right direction.
Yes.
And speaking of what you were just saying, I want to ask you about the Velveteen Dream Aleister Black match after we're done with this, because I thought that was
NXT, but where did that dude come from? Wow.
I know.
He's going to be the biggest Tough Enough success story probably behind The Miz when all is said and done.
No, I think it'll be bigger than Miz.
I'm a commissioner. I win.
So, Matt, some people in the chat think you're smoking weed. Just let them know you're not smoking weed.
I'm behind Matt Morgan in The Miz, of course. Matt Morgan being the greatest Tough Enough success story of all time. Yeah. Sorry, I need to put that on a card and keep that in front of me for every time Tough Enough
my
comes
headphones up. Back in, you guys.
There you go.
No, God, no.
Could you guys imagine 2 weeks ago if I would have said about like, and Survivor Series is going to end with Triple H hitting a pedigree and then the match is over? Like, that would have just...
I would have been mad as like, yeah. It was tonight.
And with this star power, is Triple H beating Shane McMahon to win the match?
Randy Orton and John Cena were the other two guys.
Here we are 20 years later.
You know, seriously.
I remember Triple H defending the WWE Championship in the 90s against Shane McMahon. So.
And I tweeted it out, but I mean, I thought the single coolest thing that could have happened tonight was Triple H gets all the NXT guys and they go all Nexus and turn on everyone else. And all of it. No, seriously, because it's like from there, where does that story go? We've got a while till a pay-per-view. That could have been some crazy stuff to go down. But instead, no, we got the old timers and Braun just standing there looking confused.
Yeah.
I
but
just,
they made Braun look strong. Braun, sure. You know, Braun is in that conversation with Triple H and those guys. They protect him on that same level.
Just want to point out, I saw Braun in the gym again, and I'm 2 inches taller than him. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
2 inches taller? Dang.
Continue.
So yeah. Because Braun looks like 3 inches taller than Triple H.
Triple H is deceivingly tall, though. He really is deceivingly tall.
Yeah.
Braun's every bit of 6'8", I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So up until
the
end.
He's a good kid, too, by the way. Very humble. But continue. Sorry.
No, and Braun comes across great. I think he's going to have
super humble.
Huge future. I mean, he's a superstar. I mean, the truest definition of it. So aside from the ending.
So real quick, I think this is one of those cases where what you put on last really affects the show. Because I thought it was a great show until then, and then it kind of leaves a damper on the whole show by how it ended. If you would have ended with Lesnar and AJ, I think you would have felt better differently off about the pay-per-view overall. Like it affects it. Like if you're going to give it a 7, you probably would have given it an 8.
I would have. And let me ask you this. Why wasn't it? It was the two heavyweight champions of each show. Why would that not finish the show?
I don't know. Because
what the freak?
Because it keeps the score the same. You're still going into the last match 3-3.
It made no sense to me.
But because I think everyone thought Brock was going to win. I don't think it would have been a suspense.
Yeah, there was a lot more unknown with that Raw versus SmackDown match.
I didn't care. Honestly, guys, I didn't give a crap who came out on top of the show tonight, Raw or SmackDown. I didn't care.
It is also the classic WWE pay-per-view swerve, though. The idea like, oh, my God, you got to tune into Raw tomorrow night. What's going to happen between Triple H and Braun and The Authority and Kurt and, you know? I mean, they really wanted to keep it going. SmackDown, lesser.
We're getting to WrestleMania season, so you see the shift going back to the, you know, the guys that are never around.
Yes, old guys in Braun. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, it's the problem because none of the other guys ever feel like big stars.
But to me, they've gotten a hell of a lot closer on their own.
Yeah.
Like tonight, like again, go back and watch Finn's stuff. Listen to the fans' reaction. I don't know what else needs to happen.
I think if Finn also came out as the demon.
Yeah, what was that about?
That wasn't part of the story, but if he did, he would have seemed, because he did seem a little overshadowed at the beginning, like when they were doing that face off.
Yes.
But if he was in that paint and everything, he would have looked like he fit right in. So I don't know.
Finn looked great tonight, but.
Yes, he did. I thought he looked like a star, especially the spot with Nakamura. What's that thing he did to his forehead? Am I missing something that he does and I'm not aware of it? What is that thing he does to his forehead?
The way he did the too sweet to the forehead?
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. A couple people in the chat saying those guys aren't big stars. Well, because they haven't been presented as big stars. You know, Nakamura got...
go back to these guys in the chat room. So what does that mean? You want to see Triple H and Shane McMahon? What the hell's wrong with you people?
I think what they're saying is that they haven't been, you know, like Finn just got killed by Kane a couple weeks ago, and then the next
week happening.
He beats Gallows, and it's just chokeslammed by Kane right afterwards.
Should not be happening.
It should not be happening, yeah. So when they're not presented as big stars, and then the fans get that impression that they're not big stars. And it's just that, you know, catch 22.
And this was a chance to build new talent. If Finn would have taken out Cena... You know,
so simple to do, so simple. Kurt, I guarantee you, was kicking and screaming about beating, but not wanting to beat John. That's how weird Kurt is about that stuff.
Yeah. And if Triple H, if they are building to Triple H and Braun, they could have done something where Triple H accidentally hit Braun and Braun just beats the crap out of Triple H to the back, gets them both out, and then you go on the rest of the match and get some young guys standing tall at the end.
Braun versus Hunter does nothing for Braun, nothing.
Yeah. And look at Rollins and Triple H. Rollins beat Triple H. It did nothing for him.
At least, okay, but the story to get there was, it was okay. Yeah. It was something. I don't care versus Braun versus Hunter. There's nothing about that do I care about.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for Braun. Like you said, at the end, if he wins, who cares?
Yeah, but is Rollins a bigger star now after he faced Triple H at Mania than it was a year ago?
He wasn't. Now, one can argue the booking didn't help him. They made him this cheesy baby face that he's just not. He's still finding himself as a face, and I think it was genius to put what's his name with him? Who's his partner? What's wrong with me? Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Because now he's in a comfortable setting, right? He's with somebody he knows. When you're around your boys, you're going to be more comfortable. And it's going to take him a while to be. He's just not a baby face. He's just
but they
not.
Still
he's
present a, him and Dean as like not top guys unless Roman's with him. Like when they're doing a tag match or something, they're, you know, they're getting beat. They're losing to Sheamus and Cesaro. They're losing one-on-ones to Braun. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wish they'd stick with some of these younger talents that aren't Braun and Roman. But anyway. So this was one of those cases. If Brock versus AJ had finished last, I think I would have given this an 8. But since it didn't, I think it was more like a 7.
I agree with that 100%. Same score. I was going to give it a 7, but when you said the Brock thing, I was like, yeah, I would have given it an 8 too.
Yeah.
It was very solid, but that ending was just weird.
Horrible. Horrible.
And compared to War Games last night for NXT, I mean, I know we talk about this every time that NXT puts on a more solid start to finish pay-per-view.
Has there been a weekend where the WWE pay-per-view beat NXT?
Mania. In the last Mania, couple of years. When we were like, wow, Mania is really going to step really up. Good. And they did.
Which one?
This year.
2 years ago or this year? One of
this
them.
This year.
Probably this year
with Roman and Taker, and it went like 5 hours long, or it was like 7 hours when you threw the pre-show.
Because didn't have some other really badass matches on there, though. Didn't,
yeah, no, just AJ and Shane was like number two.
Yeah, Aries
that
and Neville.
Was a great
yeah, but
match.
That was a pre-show match that had no heat. Yeah. Whereas Takeover from top to bottom was. I mean, they had the Hardys return too, but
yeah,
that was huge.
But it was like few and far between those
the
spots.
The big four needs to be something more, though. I feel like it's not the thing where it's like TLC or Hell in a Cell where we go like, oh, hey, that was surprisingly really good, guys. You know,
they tried. Yeah, they tried tonight.
They
did
big swings.
I mean, you can't say they didn't try with trying to. They tried to do that by creating the brand versus brand crap that none of us care about.
Yeah,
yeah.
Making it special
have,
and big.
If you did this, could you imagine Vince and Eric Bischoff in the 90s were like, we're going to do a pay-per-view, you know, where we face each other. How huge that would have been, because it was a legit rivalry. And no one.
I pay money to be a fly on the wall to hear like Sting versus Hogan.
Oh,
are these guys like, who's going over? Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. No one would want to lose.
Right.
No
it would be all lose. double countouts.
Yeah.
But it's still, you'd pay a shitload to see it.
We bought the wrestling magazines because of that. They showed that on the front cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, yeah, no one buys this rivalry. It only comes up when it's, you know, the week, the night after the last pay-per-view when it's time to start the build. It's just so formulaic that no one buys it. But,
and now we got to go into the build on SmackDown for Clash of the Champions for 4 weeks. This gimmick, the night where every title is defended. Every pay-per-view, every title is defended. What is special?
Not tonight.
Except for when Miz is Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. Except for tonight.
Yeah.
But every brand-specific pay-per-view.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know. So Clash of the Champions, I don't know, SmackDown's got a steep hill to climb after tonight, I think.
Yeah. What's Clash of the Champions? Is it SmackDown pay-per-view?
SmackDown pay-per-view.
The next Raw pay-per-view.
February. Yeah.
Yep.
Do they trade off the names of these pay-per-views? No, right?
Yeah,
no,
they are.
They are now, every other year.
So I guess
that's pretty cool.
It'll be Raw getting Elimination Chamber this next year.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, yeah, because this year was SmackDown got Hell in a Cell, the year before was Raw. And then Money in the Bank was the other way around.
Yeah. Huh. So I know there was a War Games specific podcast last night, but Raj, you wanted to talk about the Velveteen Dream, the third greatest success story from Tough Enough behind Matt Morgan and The Miz.
Yeah. We'll just talk quickly about, Takeover to get your guys' thoughts. But, I mean, I thought Takeover last night, again, it's one of those things where it was just entertaining top to bottom, no real soft spots. I thought it was just a great all around show. And I thought Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black stole the show.
Stole it. They rubber stamped the crap out of that show. That guy is impressive.
22 years old.
Think about that's how old he is.
Patrick Clark is 22, I believe.
Yeah, he was on Tough Enough. I remember on Tough Enough. I was like, oh, this guy's really good, but he doesn't have that. I didn't see that character. And
remember,
then,
he was a prick. Everyone hated him. They're jealous of. Well, he's put himself out there to be a prick for whatever.
He was the only fan on the show.
Yeah.
He was the only one that knew what he was doing. Him and Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
That's right. Chelsea was on the show, wasn't she?
Yeah, she came in later as a replacement for someone. But yeah, man, that guy, I was like, this money. Is a star in the making. And
do you know how hard it is to do that character? Here's the thing. I will not get over WWE, though. You know the WWE audience.
No, here's what's going to happen. In NXT, they're going to treat him like Prince. Vince is going to look at it on the main roster, and Vince is going to think, oh, that movie I saw once, Mannequin, the character Hollywood. That's how you should play this guy. And I...
Oh, my God, that's pretty good, actually.
That's exactly
that.
What's going to happen on the main roster.
I could see
Vince
that.
Is going to super effeminate him up, and it's just going to all go to hell.
You know what makes me think he won't do that? Is because he's physically impressive. It's not like Tyler Breeze, where Vince is like, do whatever you want with him. Let's make it funny. But because he is, you know, six whatever, you know, and
he's impressive looking.
Yeah,
he is. This character is confusing because I didn't know, was he a gay character? Is he not? Because I've never seen him before last night.
No,
it's like a hybrid between Prince, Gorgeous George, and Rick Rude, and a little bit of Shawn Michaels thrown in.
I mean, he what?
And he makes it work. Like if someone told you to do that, you're like, what the hell?
There's no way.
He fuses it together, I remember when I first heard when he first started doing the character on live events, I was like,
I thought it was a rib on him.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't think it was going to work, but man, he was awesome. And him and Aleister Black, like the part where they just sat in the, you know, like Aleister did his little sitting in the ring, and then Velveteen Dream went and did the same thing. It's like those moments, like at a WrestleMania, get over huge, and it's capturing stuff like that and doing stuff like that, not just the moves, but little stuff like that just really.
And they gave it the ending. They gave it the end. Even when he said his name at the end, it was kind of like it was a moment.
It was like,
but we still gave him the rub. You know,
Definitely. But that's a great example of two people coming out of the match. Moreover, that's how a perfect match is executed. Both guys come out ahead.
There was so much of that last night. Why don't I feel that in the WWE? Ember Moon had her moment. The fact they had Asuka there come out and do the thing. I mean, it's, you know, I've been a casual NXT watcher since a lot of my favorites got called up, but still just knowing history there. That still like really got me. I felt really caught up in her moment. And why don't I feel that on the main roster? The shit that I watch every week for eight hours.
Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't one match tonight where the loser also got over.
No,
AJ maybe, but not really.
Not really. Yeah. It's weird. It's like the people will say, oh, it's a shorter show and this and that. It still has nothing to do with these guys, these men and women's characters that are super over. I do think a big part of it, and I hate saying this because I love the NXT crowd. I'd love to perform in front of them because that would be friggin' breeze. It'd be fun as hell. But they make it easier. They just do. As far as the viewer at home, they make it more exciting for us. They do.
Well, you know, that's what WWE should do, is they should do SmackDown 1 week at Full Sail
or something. Yeah.
Or just do a show where it's like, you know, it's like the Mania crowds. Like, this is just for the IWC, the nerds that really pay attention to this stuff, who are going to make this seem bigger than it is.
Yeah, how much money they'd lose by doing that.
I know.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was great. So, I think part of that, too, is... You feel like you're a part of their character's growth in NXT, whereas on the main roster you usually don't. They're brought up and you're like, hey, you're supposed to care about this guy,
right? Whereas it's easy to emotionally invest in it. It's like OVW, same thing. That's why people went to our shows; they were always sold out. You're about to see the next John Cena, the next Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? You're about to see tomorrow's superstars. Today is what they said, and that was the truth. I don't know. I just think it's easier to perform in that arena, though. I do. And I think it radiates through your TV or your phone or your iPad, whatever you're watching the crap on NXT, your platform. It radiates through the screen and it makes the matches so much more exciting because there's so many guys. Because I'm just like you, Glenn. I really don't watch NXT as much as I used to once everyone got called up.
Yeah.
And I'm watching. I'm like I watched the three-way
War Games
match. Like, I'm happy for Eric Young, so I was watching. But and then the big dudes, okay, great, you know. But there's a lot of guys in there. I don't see stars. I just don't. I know people are going to be pissed about that because they love the Ring of Honor guys. and they were hard workers and they're good, but I don't see them as a single main event act at any kind of Mania, that's for sure.
Yeah, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, I see them as being like Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, where they're the guys to get
two feet tall
for Adam Cole. Yeah, except way smaller.
So we talk about storytelling, though. So we know now that Jimmy Jacobs has left. We know more that he did the Festival of Friendship storyline. He did Dolph Ziggler's career.
He came up with the list. He's
But he did the Dolph Ziggler storyline that was well received. It's like, do we ever find out who wrote the Heath? We should have asked Heath Slater that, like, which writer was responsible for the Heath Slater free agent storyline? Because it seems like on the main roster, it's so rare that they do something like that. But when they do it, that's the time they capture that magic. And you think that's what they would learn from NXT, is get people invested in these guys. Even with Braun, you know, in their own way, they did that story to where you felt invested in Braun's matches. And I just think that's the first thing that goes, you know, when they're trying.
I think because there's too many people. I really believe that's an issue. You have too many opinions. I remember that myself as a wrestler. I'd ask like 500 different people backstage, hey, what do you think I should, you know, there's my match, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, what's your take? I was doing that just to show a respect to a lot of people, a lot of veterans. But then you have the writers. You know what I mean? And nowadays, there's like 500 of them. And I think there's too many opinions being floating around out there where guys get confused and don't know what direction to go. Yeah. It's very difficult. They always say, well, pick everyone's brains, right? And then figure out what works for you. Well, that takes time. Guess what? That takes a lot of time and a lot of house shows. And WWE, when I was there, they weren't giving us that time. You were in a friggin' microwave. And you had seconds to get your crap over onto the next. Did so many studs.
But instead, we get like 8 weeks of Bludgeon Brothers promo videos.
Right.
You know, and it's just, okay, that's happening.
Real quick, Matt, do you watch Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas?
That's another good example. That guy is not going to be over on the main roster. I hate to break it to everybody. He's just not. Drew has a chance. He's a star in every sense of the word, physically speaking, and what he does in the ring. He's hard to understand on the mic, though. But you know, the other guy, I can't even say his name because I don't know him enough. I know what he was in Mexico, but here, I just don't see it. He's good in the ring, but he is not a main event act. No way.
Rosita is Zelina Vega. Am I saying her right?
Rosita is money.
She's awesome. I mean, she has that poise, that
confidence about her too.
And then she's doing the moves like Lita back in the day when she was with S.A. Rios. That's the name from the past. But I thought she was awesome. But Drew, the final spot, that bicep injury, he was holding onto the rope when that DDT dropped. I think he held onto it too long and suffered that biceps injury. We don't know how bad it is yet. Hopefully it's not a full tear.
Is it a tear?
They're going to find out. They're going to do an MRI on Monday. But if it's a full tear, that's like 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like 6 weeks or something. It's like a big difference between a full tear.
It depends on the level of the strain.
Yeah.
If it's just a strain, he really gets lucky and he'll have some bruising, but he'll bandage it up.
But that was the planned finish last night, right? That wasn't like a reaction?
No, that was the planned finish. I mean, that was the last spot of the match.
I was very surprised.
I was surprised because Drew just got the belt.
Yeah.
But Glenn, what did I say after he won the belt?
You didn't care, probably, I'm guessing.
No. I said Vince takes one look at how Drew looks now with his size and his – yeah, he's not going to be in NXT for long. Good. He's going to the main roster.
Yeah, get 3MB back together, man. Jinder's not doing anything. Heath's not doing
anything. No, you don't put him in – oh, God, I thought you were being serious.
You do not remind anybody
you
that –
you want to make sure that no one remembers that. Yeah.
Sometimes I say these funny, darkest timeline things because, you know what? Shit like that happens. And then, you know.
Not that.
Remember the big pay-per-view tonight ended with Triple H creating us Shane O'Mac.
Yeah, but that, you know.
Yeah, I know.
That's different. That was a main event level thing. 3MB was not. So I think regardless, I think Drew McIntyre, I don't know if the plan was for him to rematch Andrade in January. And then go to the main roster after that, because that's usually the formula: is the champion loses and then loses the match.
Yeah.
So I could see that, but we'll have to see how bad this injury is. It sounded like they weren't very optimistic, so we'll see.
Wow. Anything else we should cover before we take it home here?
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. less than 24 hours till we're back talking Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's been a we're only halfway there through the 4-day weekend. So I mean the 4-day big pay-per-view weekend. So still a lot to go.
Yeah, and they'll have hot crowds, and so they'll hopefully put a lot of effort into these shows. You think tonight was legit sold out?
Yeah, tonight was legit sold out.
What was Friday?
Less than half.
What was Friday?
Oh, not Friday, Saturday. So we have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Oh, SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown. But we don't, you know, our podcast is Wednesday, so kind of 5 days.
Yeah. So before we wrap here, Commissioner Matt Morgan, plug your stuff, man.
I'm not running my campaign anymore, right? So
yeah. You got your business.
No, I actually had to sell back my 51% stock of Your Nutritional Blueprint, because now with this added responsibility being commissioner, you need a lot of time to be able to handle it. And there's a lot of things we need to get done here in our city to take care of our police department, our fire department. I've already taken a step in that direction in doing so. On my first week on the job, and it's a lot. It's a big undertaking, but I'm definitely, you know, up for the challenge. You know, it's very basic. You listen to the citizens. You make sure that we talk about emotionally investing. That's what I'm doing here with our citizens. I'm making them emotionally invest and taking their city back and telling them, you vote for me, you guys will have your city back. You'll be part of the decision-making process. And that's what I'm holding them up to doing. You know, in the past, they just get ignored. No one asks them anything. It's very patronizing over the years, and that's what happens. You have the good old boy network and guys that have been serving for like many, many, many years and should have bounced years ago, but they hold on to their spot forever. They become complacent, and that's what makes you a career politician. I'm anything but that. And our city's excited for the first time.
Were you surprised by how much you won?
We were talking. In politics, I didn't know, because I was trying to keep the math in my head of the physical votes, the day of the voting. We did have a day before where you could vote early that I wasn't present for. And then there was also the absentee ballots that we had a good idea of how many were sent back, but we didn't know what my voting was, whether I split it, whether I didn't. But physically, in person, the day of the actual voting, I was counting all day. We were from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I had the number in my head. I could have sworn like 7-3. Seven people would walk up to me and say they voted for me, three versus my opponent. So I saw an ass whipping coming as far as the physical voting part of it. And then when I saw the number, you know, what was it, 58-42, 58%, I got of the vote to his 42, and he's an incumbent. I was like, oh, I thought it would be bigger. And my campaign manager was like, Matt, that was a huge upset. You just destroyed him. I'm like, I only won 58-42, though. That's he's huge. Like, Matt, 1% is a decisive victory in politics. I was like,
yeah.
I wasn't aware of that, honestly. I really wasn't. I treated it like a sport, you know, as far as the scoreboard goes, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah. I thought it was bigger than that. I really did. But very, very honored, you know, to make an entire city get behind you, and you light a fire under their ass that they can make a difference, and then you go ahead and you carry it out, you know what I mean? I have great ideas and things I want to get done, but it pales by comparison to their ideas and the things they want to see done. They're the ones who've lived here for 30, 40, some of them 50 years. And they've been ignored for the entire time, and their ideas stifled. So my whole idea is to incorporate them in every aspect of our major decision-making processes. And we have five commissioners, three of the five run the majority, and three, me and two other newcomers won. So this was a huge story down here. We're starting the ripples of what I know is going to become a tidal wave all the way up Seminole County, all the way right back to Tallahassee to these dirtbags, these career politicians that have ruined our country in a lot of ways. You do not need to be a career politician to serve your city, to serve your county, to serve your state, to eventually serve your country.
That's true.
Making Longwood great again.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
Well, congrats, man. That's huge.
Thank you, guys.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
And it's good to see, you know, regular people getting involved, because there's not enough of that.
Seriously, it's really, I wish more, I think more will, though. I really do. With this, I'm being serious. This was a huge story down here throughout the whole state, because, like, you don't beat an 18-year incumbent. That doesn't happen. You don't beat a 3-year incumbent, especially if you don't have the backing that these guys had. They had Big Sugar, Big Tobacco. They had PAC groups. They had special interest groups. They don't get involved in commissioner races, guys. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they came out of the woodworks because, I'm just telling you, because of the ass whooping we were putting on them as far as public opinion goes. We were just being very honest with people, good or bad, you know, and just being very open with people. And I think they respond well to that. Like, I would rather receive bad news than no news at all and be completely patronized of what my opinion is on how my city develops.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome. So, less than 24 hours, we'll be back here to talk about Monday Night Raw, the fallout from Survivor Series. And everyone, you need to go on the Wrestling Inc. Twitter account because there's video of Triple H walking to the backstage tonight and just walking right into the wall with the curtain and falling down. It's on the Wrestling Inc. Twitter. And he's doing like the, yeah, I won. And then he walks, turns around and goes, boom, right, and then falls down. It's kind of funny. If that would have been on the show, that would have been the perfect.
I was not aware of that, so I'll have to check that out.
Sounds very Triple H-ish to me.
Yeah. Cool, guys. So we'll be back here tomorrow. Until next time, folks, I'm Glenn Rubenstein, and we'll see you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
See you guys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.